Welcome to Triple M Breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is the Coast Tone 107.7 Triple M.
G'day, this is Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast for Wednesday, the 5th of May.
Yeah. Famous, most famous artist in the world, yes. You would say. You didn't even know who it
did
was.
Did so.
You did not.
Clarkie.
Clarkie.
Is it Clarkie?
Oh, you are hopeless.
And we also looked at the mating habits. An echidna.
An echidnas, that'd be rough.
Quitting your job, how have you done it? And the big issue today the Central Coast was talking about.
Flurry of interest in this. Roundabouts.
27 new ones on the coast.
When the big issues of the Central Coast need to be discussed, people turn to Paddy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 Triple M. This is the forum.
Oh, this one.
Just when you thought the council had run out of money.
The Central Coast is to get...
...27 more roundabouts.
Who needs, and we are talking to
not a new stadium, not a new pool.
No, 27 more roundabouts. We're talking to Marky Sheargold.
Parks, forget it.
About tourist attractions.
Parking around schools, forget it.
No, 27 more roundabouts after residents, nearly 30 actually, are being planned for the Central Coast. But you know what, Robert, and you and I agree, and don't you try and say you don't, I love a good roundabout because I think they ease traffic congestion.
Yes, they do. Everyone used to laugh at Canberra because they had, it was like the roundabout town.
Yeah.
Because they built that thing just sort of roundabout, roundabout, roundabout. And they work.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to stop, wait. You just merge in.
But that big roundabout at Canberra is so stupid that you get lost. And I did get lost on that roundabout.
Some people do, you could. It doesn't feel like a roundabout. It's so big.
Yeah,
it's
massive.
Just like a slight curve that goes for a kilometre.
Yeah.
But if you're at a roundabout, like the ones going up through... towards the entrance. There's a couple there on the main road. Just has Bateau Bay there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can sit there, and if cars, they come, and you're waiting, and you go, now.
Yeah.
Some people struggle getting into a roundabout because it's the whole, is there enough room for me to slide into that hole?
Look, with these roundabouts, there should be more lessons on people about driving, how to enter and exit a roundabout.
Nothing
that'll
more
be good.
Frustrating than someone...
No.
Coming to a complete stop at a roundabout where there are no cars.
So, look, 27 more roundabouts. I think they do ease traffic congestion.
They do.
They really do. I think they're good. But we want to know this morning, in your area, are you...
well...
Are you happy that, like, there's all these planned ones? I think they're bloody good. You might be disappointed that they're putting...
Tugger's getting a lot. Tugger Parade.
A few people are complaining about the roundabouts. They don't want the roundabouts. I think they're a good idea.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with them here on the Central Coast? 27 more, nearly 30 going to be planned.
Well, there's been some notes here. How about they spend the roundabout money on pothole fixing?
Oh, look, if I hear that pothole story... If I hear that as a comeback, when we opened up the Terrigal Boardwalk when we were there, people said, what about spending money on the potholes? Everything they do, they come back to the potholes.
You're approaching the new roundabout and you can't read the sign that says there's a new roundabout because you're up and down in all the potholes approaching
potholes
the roundabout.
Aren't that bad. The potholes aren't that bad. But honestly, would you be happy... Are you happy with 27 more roundabouts? Should the money be spent better elsewhere? We would like to know.
G'day, Pete from Berkeley Vale.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, going well, buddy. Going well.
Okay.
In relation to those roundabouts, it's a lot of the older generation, because they weren't brought up with roundabouts, they're still a little bit rusty with them. But the younger generation, like me, us, or whatever, they're easy to use. It's just, they're meant to make the traffic sort of flow. But, people in the left-hand lane, when you're turning left, say there's two lanes,
yep.
People in the left-hand lane, if you're turning left, people still stop and sit there and wait. Because there's a car in the right-hand lane, you can still turn left.
Yeah.
But because people stop and stand and they wait for a complete gap, there's nothing, that car's coming from east, west, or whatever. You can still go left, but that car in the right hand lane,
Pete, you confused me.
You get the message. You get the message.
Basically,
people need to learn how to slide into that gap on the left lane and turn left while people are still using the roundabout in the right. I hear.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, just as I said, they work, but, you know, it's just a lot of people, you know, sort of still get funny ideas with them, you know? So
yeah, I love a good roundabout.
Look at that. I mean, you know, people thought mobile phones would never take off either, but here we are.
I've got Jude from Edelong. G'day, Jude.
Hey, Judy.
Hello, how are you today?
Yeah, not too bad. Rob and I agree on something. We love roundabouts.
Do you? Yeah. You can have your roundabout.
Oh, come on. Here we go. Why?
Pete was just talking about you.
Why? Why? You like them?
Well, I think they should fix the potholes and get a nice weather. Because I've just spent more than $3,000 fixing up my front end and suspension because of those nasty big potholes.
Okay.
Yep, $3,000 on the front end. And then she fixed the car.
Hey, Jude, thank you for that.
Thanks, Judy.
So you're one of those pothole people.
Potholes are...
Yeah, I hate them.
Okay. Yeah, I hate them too, Judy.
Thanks,
I'm with you
Jude.
There.
Thanks, Jude. Oh, I love the pothole excuse. Anything we do here. What about fixing the potholes? Tony from Greenpoint. G'day, mate.
Tony.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. What do you think? Yeah, all for... I love the
27 more. It's something to talk about at the pub on a Friday afternoon. New
the
roundabouts.
The what do you think?
Well, maybe that's what they're filling up the potholes with, roundabouts.
Yeah.
Oh, touche.
Time for...
This is the news that doesn't make the news. That should be in the news instead of the other news.
Yes, good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Patrick.
What do you got for us, champion?
Well, I just did mention before, whilst the song was on, that I was going to do something about Banksy. And your reply to that was...
I knew who
Who's Banksy?
Oh, well, you just...
Everyone
Banksy.
Knows who Banksy is.
Well,
as an
I've
artist.
Got a mate in Rocky whose name's Banksy.
Yeah, sure you do. Yeah. Banksy is a famous street artist from the UK. Famous for his street art. He's like a renegade artist.
Yeah, okay, anyway. Does everyone know that? I wasn't
do you
quite
know,
sure.
He just sold... Yeah. This is not the story. This is part of it, though.
Yeah.
He sold a piece of... It's a tribute to the NHS workers in the UK during, and I'm not allowed to say COVID.
Oh, you're not supposed to use this.
I know,
that's
I know.
Why we did 12
but
other news.
It's a kid on his knees in his bedroom with a basket of superhero toys, and he's playing with the NHS nurse with a cross on a thing. And
how much was that?
$30 million.
Oh,
yes.
He didn't.
$30 million.
He didn't?
Yes.
I mean, it's a good picture.
It's a great picture, but someone's bought it. It's black and white as well. And the only colour in it is the red cross on the little doll's chest as he flies. $30 million.
Oh, I want to be Banksy then.
Yeah. And now do you know who he is? It's worth finding out. Anyway, there was one guy who knew who Banksy was in 2003.
Yeah.
He went to the MCA Museum of Contemporary Art in Sydney, and he went to the store. And you know, you can go to the store and you can buy prints of different pieces and you take them home. Well, this guy paid $300 for a print of a Banksy piece called Lovers in the Air. It's basically a picture of, or a drawing of a guy in a mask throwing a bunch of flowers as though he's throwing a Molotov cocktail in a riot sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's got a red background, black and white guy in the flowers. It's called Lovers in the Air. That was bought by the guy for $300 as a print in 2003.
Hang on. You've got to be happy. Hang on.
Have a guess. I thought you were looking for your game show button.
I know, I've got that. It's time to have a guess how much Banksy print is now worth. How much is it?
Okay, have a guess. It was bought for $300 in 2003.
Well, if that other picture sold for 30 mil, I would say...
Just a print. It's not the
it's
real
just a
thing.
Print. Okay, $1 million.
Oh, you've ruined the game.
Is that what it was?
No, it's $150,000.
Oh. Oh, is that it? Okay.
That's for a piece of paper.
All
there was only 500 printed.
All right.
And he bought it for $300, sold it for $150,000. Oh, no, it's expected to go for that at auction.
That's not as good as Bitcoin, is it?
Yeah.
Well done. Hey, I've got, you know how we spoke to Dan from the Australian Reptile Park? We're talking about echidnas having sex, you know, mating. And, well, there's new, like, had a look at this research. It's found echidnas are quite promiscuous creatures, right?
I'm just going to say precise.
And what they did, excuse me, 3 years digging up echidnas and using ultrasound to study their mating habits. And they all installed infrared cameras in their burrows and made some surprising discoveries that.
What?
Yeah, with echidnas.
Echidna porn.
Yeah, only fans for echidnas. Echidnas have group sex.
Yes, they do.
Now, I know that's a prickly situation.
Eric says to Edwina, come round, we're having an orgy.
are you bringing...
Bring Ethel.
Yeah, that's true. And they get on the phone.
And Eugene, he can come.
Anyway, so I thought you'd be... That's some interesting news this morning that you may not have known.
How would you like to leave your job?
Well, they wouldn't let me turn on the swearometer, Robert.
There's certain ways to do it.
Oh, yes.
You know, you don't just go, that ain't
up. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. There's a you.
Yeah, would you give it up yours?
Oh, no. Look, everything's got to be in place to do that. Like, if you won Lotto, that's when there wouldn't be a you loud enough.
That's right.
You can't just walk out.
I don't
out.
Think I've ever actually quit a job. I can't. I'm trying to think.
But because you've been sacked.
Yeah,
don't say it. Don't bring it
no,
up.
No, I won't bring
don't
it
bring
up.
It up about that Channel 7 thing. No, bring
no,
it up.
Technically I haven't because no one actually ever called me.
Didn't they call you?
Heard it on the grapevine.
Oh, no, that's even worse.
Oh, no, geez, they're weak.
Oh, I think this is a time that Rob's getting it off his chest, everyone.
just get
on that couch over there, chest. Buddy. Yeah. Go on, okay.
You know, if you were a boss, you think you'd have the cojones to stand up and
wouldn't
say you're done.
Wouldn't some bosses have some funny stories about how people have done it?
Oh, I know. There's a woman actually left the...
How did you tell your boss it was over, or bosses?
Or vice versa.
Yeah, vice versa. What did she do?
This woman left the... She was pretty classy, I thought. She left a note. She goes, "Hi, ladies. Tomorrow's going to be my last clean for HSBC. Allegedly." Do I need to say that because I named
it? Let's rewind it.
Rewind. Okay.
For this particular company. Or
it could have been any one of the big banks.
Yeah.
I've made up a bucket of something, cleaning materials for the next cleaner. Hasn't got very neat handwriting.
Yeah.
Whoever that may be. I've left the job, Julie. Sure, I've said her name too.
Jeez, I tell you. Let's do this next one in the cone of silence.
It's just
you and me.
It could have been Julie or Jane. Jane Doe.
Yeah.
After the way you dressed me down in the office, it was nothing more than aggressive and cruel, but that's a reflection on your character, not mine. This is the former employee to her
it's
former
a long
boss.
Bloody note that she's left.
Yeah. Going forward, please, all of you, remember, in a world when you can be anything, be kind, because you are all, and in bigger writing and capitals, no better than the cleaner. Regards, Julie or Jane,
and
or
so
whoever
she's
name
out,
is.
And she's out of there.
Yeah, but she just wrote a letter and said, stuff you.
Some do it in a very diplomatic fashion. Others just are so irate that they're not going to take it. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. We want to know, how did you do it? Was it a funny way? Was it an aggressive way?
I mean, give us a call. There are so many ways. You might have got sacked.
Yes.
I did.
Yeah, because a couple weren't even told about
just
it.
Just a note.
I think
someone
we've got Troy. Troy, g'day, mate. We got you there, buddy.
Yeah, morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good. What happened with you, mate?
Yeah, well, basically, it was down in Sydney about, 20 years ago, and I was working for a company doing telemarketing, selling raffle tickets over the phone to cold calling, which is pretty tough.
Tough for who? Tough for you and the people you're ringing.
You're one of those.
But, anyway, and I was that good at it, and because it was bonuses, of course, that was the only reason I was that good at it. I had to talk these people into it.
Hmm.
And they said, "Oh, mate, we've got to get rid of you." And I said, "Why is that?" They said, "Oh, you put all our other people to shame." So I thought, okay, revenge is sweet. What do? Who's their competitor? I found their competitor and went and worked for them, went for a trial, and it was basically like a six-hour trial. After an hour and a half, the girl goes, "Oh, you can go now. We're going to pay you for 6 hours. See you Monday."
So the most talented, annoying man on the phone in the world is Troy from Gosford.
That's it, guys. You know, I can remember even when when kids would answer the phone, and the kid and the mum or the dad in the background go, "Well, who's this?" And I go, "I just tell them it's Elmo on the phone." And they'd come to the phone, mate. Then I'd sell them raffle tickets.
What the sad thing about this? You now call us. Holy jeez.
How is your community service going, Troy?
Oh, mate, and I got a good twist. I actually sold the winning raffle ticket, and I was on shift at the time it was drawn for a car, and I said to the manager, I said, "Can I ring the lady and tell her she won? You know, I think it's only fair." So I ring her up and I say, "Oh, dear," whatever her name was, "you know, you've just won a car. You know, it's so exciting." And I said, "By the way, do you want to buy 30 more books of tickets just to consider it a donation?"
Jeez,
you
mate.
Just made $25,000, and she did.
Are you also a prince from Andorra that wants to share his wealth with millions around the country?
Good on you, Troy. Oh, look, what would you do with $84 billion, do you think?
Yeah.
What's the first thing you buy? A plane, you reckon? That's a bit silly.
That's right.
Or what would I buy?
You know, we're talking about Bill Gates and Melinda Gates divorcing.
Yeah.
You know, they met in 1987?
Yeah.
She was working at Microsoft as a product manager.
Yep. And all these years later, built their fortune up to $168 billion. Wouldn't you be like to be a lawyer in that case, do you think?
He dropped out of uni to start Microsoft.
Yeah. Jeez.
It makes you wonder.
You look
surely
at that,
we
you
can
seen
start
that?
Something.
Something. Surely. What is there? Why don't we do a coin and we just get a little bit of it? And we start, say, something like that. What about a cryptocurrency? Ever thought of that? No.
Start your own crypto.
Yeah, that'd be good.
The Gates. Anyway, no. Maybe not.
But that's 168 mil. But, you know, you go look at it and you go, will she get half? Surely she will.
There's no prenup between them.
Oh, so just gets half. They've got this estate. It's $127 million.
I think it's amicable, though.
Yeah, that happens. It was a few years.
He's got so much money that he can have an amicable divorce.
Unheard of. Is that true? And Gatesy owns a Washington estate. It's worth $127 million. It overlooks a Lake Washington. It's dubbed Xanadu 2.0, and it looks like a mini city. And you just go, wow. It is just, it's hard to fathom how much money he actually has, or they actually have.
You can't comprehend it. No, I mean, you know. The kids are only getting 5%, but that's still a few billion each.
You see, we were talking about that this morning before it came on air, and I'd be dirty. I'd be dirty if your kids, if you're the kids. You'd want more than 5%. I know. What is it?
What are you going to do? 5% is about of whatever, 5% of 180 billion.
Yeah, still. I'd want half, though, if I was one of the kiddies. I'd be dirty.
Still $10 billion or $8 billion.
Maybe I'm just greedy. Some of the other world's most expensive divorces, Jeff and Mackenzie Bezos, are from Amazon, $52 billion. Holy jeez.
Let's just put it in perspective. A billion is 1,000 million. Come on, 1,000 million.
But, you know, the only thing, though, really, the only thing that divorce proves whose mother was right in the first place. That's what it truly should have never married him. He'll amount to nothing, darling. Melinda, he'll amount to nothing, that Bill.
Plenty of people spending a lot of money on divorce. It must be worth it. You know what, Paddy?
I know.
For friends of Triple M and family to bulk up the numbers, download the Listener app.
We're talking LISTNR.
Yep. And if you favourite breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer.
You are legends.
Well, yeah, that's very good of you. And you can listen anytime you like.